Welcome to the Office Space Podcast with your host, Dougal Jeppy, where he and his guests discuss relevant topics that are affecting occupiers of office space.
I'm your host, Dougal Jeppy with Colliers International, and today our topic is on workplace innovation and strategy with my special guest expert, Kate North. Kate, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Dougal. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's a pleasure to be here.
So at Colliers, Kate leverages 25 plus years of experience leading workplace transformation within organizations to accelerate human performance and drive compelling results. Based in Chicago and Utah, really more Utah than Chicago now, I think, she has responsibility for the United States and jettisons her global experience and network to expand our Colliers Workplace Innovation Services globally. So today we're going to be talking about workplace innovation strategy and hear some stories from Kate, who really has a wide range of clients, gets to see a lot of things, and has been on this journey not only 25 plus years, but really engaged starting March of 20, right? When everything started getting a little bit different. So before we get into that, would you mind just kind of telling the audience about yourself and describe your practice a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you've shared, I've been at this for a couple of decades. And one of the things that might be interesting to the viewers is that I took 7 years out to really focus in specifically around how do you help or how could I help Fortune 100, 500 organizations think differently about working globally and distributed work, which is really now becoming hybrid. And so I worked on a lot of large technology, financial institutions, government agencies, helping them really think through how do leaders lead when they can't see their teams? How do they still keep engagement? How do they know that they're working? How do they measure by results? So little did I know that all of that background was really going to pay off in spades as soon as COVID hit, because that's really been the name of the game is, you know, how do you really help organizations rethink work? So that's something that I just wanted to add in. The other piece is that for the past 9 years, I've been leading a workplace community of practice called the Workplace Evolutionaries. And it's never been probably so important to surround yourself with others that are going through similar experiences. And if anybody's interested in it, it's a community of practice within IFMA, International Facility Management Associate. We've got over 1,000 members globally and about 26 different hubs around the world. And it allows us to be able to do webinars and events. We've got World Workplace coming up the end of the month, but also do research. And so what I'll be sharing with you today is certainly from the work that I do at Colliers, but also from a broader lens of what offers me as the chair of the Workplace Evolutionaries.
Great. So in summary, you are a busy person really at the forefront of everything that's going on. I know.
I'll have to say I've loved it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You're doing what you love, and you know, maybe you never work a day if you do that, they say, right? Mm-hmm. Although you've been working a lot, let's be honest.
Yeah, but you know, I think we all have, and that's part of the blessing and the curse, you know, when you're working from home, is that sometimes that factor of being able to have a little bit of a pause or a break in your week when you come into the office. I mean, just want to underscore before we jump into this that, you know, having a hybrid model allows for both. It gives you the choice. And I believe firmly that choice is a really good thing for all generations, for all genders, for all roles. You know, it's an important component.
Absolutely. So if you could, I mean, we talk a lot about generalities, but perhaps you can talk about a recent engagement that you're either currently working on or just wrapped up, and maybe what you learned from that engagement.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I've been juggling three or four of them, you know, kind of simultaneously, because everybody's looking for a strategy that will help them really think through their return to office. And so it's been full, for sure, but it's been really fascinating because regardless of the industry sector, and they are quite unique. You know, one is certainly more in, you know, manufacturing, one is in legal, one is in entertainment and technology. So it's interesting when you step back and you say, what's really starting to emerge? And I think the number one thing is, in our practice, we always start with leaders and we hold a rigorous alignment session, because if you can help leaders think through and tear apart what it means to be hybrid, it helps to reduce the fear and also build consensus. As part of the Workplace Evolutionaries, we've been using case studies as a way for our community to learn for, you know, 7 years. And I've collected almost 80 of them. And one of the things that's I've just continued to see is that projects that continue to thrive, that are not just to kind of like get people in, but then they kind of start to fizzle off. But those that really thrive, guess what they have, Dougal? What do they share in common? What would you say?
Perhaps they have strong leaders that get involved early on in the process.
Did you cheat?
No.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Ding, ding. I get
No, that's exactly it. It's just, you know, having those leaders lead and be in consensus and really demonstrate great behavior, because this is a moment of inclusivity. We're not all going to be at the same place, I don't believe, ever again at the same time. We're not going to see it like we saw. I know that there's some people still holding their breath for 2019 to return. But I believe that day has kind of come and gone. So how do we really start to hone new skills for leading, for managing, for engaging with one another that ensures that people are working well, they feel connected, they feel engaged, we're leveraging that technology. And having leaders demonstrate that is the biggest way to help signal the shift, but also for people to learn. You know, that's, I think that's been something that was a challenge before COVID. Many people had never experienced, you know, especially this scale, their organization working remotely. There's only just a small handful that had actually kind of steeped their practice that way. So there's much to be learned by being able to have leaders really demonstrating. And it also helps support and evolve and nurture the culture, which is another piece that we want to make sure occurs. So in our practice, we start with the leaders and really get that clear alignment, define the goals, define how they're going to measure success, identify those challenges. And then we run a really cool survey that helps us understand which groups are going to be best for remote work versus those that may require higher levels of complex collaboration, or if they're essential and they need to be on site. But it helps us through this lens to be able to identify those that will already be prone to success but may just need some additional support. And then we also do focus groups. And the reason why we love the focus groups is we love to get people engaged and feeling like they are part of the process. Plus, many of them have got terrific ideas. You know, they're in the culture. They understand it. They're living and breathing it every day. So capturing their feedback not only breeds new ideas and innovation, but also they can become them broader champions for the solution. And then we love to also be able to interview the leaders, you know, being able to get them one-on-one to where they feel a little bit more comfortable on really sharing, you know, what is keeping them up at night. And you know, what are we doing today? But most importantly, has their business shifted or changed through COVID? Are they going to need different skills? How will it impact the work that they are leading within the organization? What about talent? You know, we know that there's a talent shortage, and we know especially the tech talent that's been so desired, it's even harder to get. And we know that the number one thing that they want is flexibility and choice. So how does that marry up with the culture and the goals and the vision of the leaders? So we combine all of that and any other data that they've captured, and then we digest it. I mean, it's like going into a cave and just sitting with all of this qualitative and quantitative data to extract out what we believe might be most feasible. We model different scenarios to help them see pros and cons. So even within, you know, hybrid, you can have different models. You can have a fixed schedule, you know, where people are assigned a day or to a couple of days a week so that it can balance out the actual occupancy. You can, on the other flip side of that, you can actually have completely employee choice, which is terrific from an employee perspective, much harder to be able to manage the occupancy throughout the week. Most people will come in, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then there's, you know, the in between. It's kind of like perhaps it's just, you know, where the teams decide when they're going to be coming in. And then you get into all those questions around, well, people are only coming in, 2 days a week. Yeah. Shall we begin to think about more of the hoteling and, you know, what mm-hmm. might that look like mm-hmm. given mm-hmm. the organization? So those are some of the things that, you know, a little bit about our practice and what we're finding. And I'd be happy to go deeper on any of those.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about financial service, right? They seem generally as an industry more inclined to be going back into the office, right? And you were saying it's more, and I asked the question, why is that? And you said it's a cultural thing. What is it about the financial service industry? And maybe it's JP Morgan, you know, maybe it's Jamie Dimon as more of a mm-hmm. iconic figure who kind of makes that a statement, mm-hmm. which is on the opposite end of, you know, maybe a, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, who says, no, we're going to more mm-hmm. do work from home. But what is it about that culture that makes it more interested in being back in the office physically?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think part of it is stems really from governance. You know, certainly with financial sector,
yeah,
they have
a good
to
point.
Treat security a really, you know, that's top on the list. Mm-hmm. And so ensuring that they're able to provide that. And now there are numerous roles within a given organization and that all of them will need the same level of security as, let's say, for example, some of the, the traders, et cetera, mm-hmm. Depending upon what's being doing, what that's happening. So that's a big factor. The other piece may be more culturally stemmed to the financial sector, and that is, you know, more around the investment banking and meeting with clients and, having more, the space has been more geared and more entitled, if you will, in terms of that type of engagement. But that certainly has changed. I mean, people are doing much more online transactions and discussions virtually than they have done before. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of it is also just following the pack, you know, to some degree. I mm-hmm. think there's a piece where they feel comfortable and safe, you know, kind of mimicking that of what others are doing. Although we know that, you know, Goldman Sachs and others have been working, you know, more towards the work anywhere, the hoteling types of models for a while. So yeah. I think, to our discussion, I believe, you know, leadership is really key, you know, to the earlier point around demonstrating. And if you state or if an organization says we're going to be developing this flexible work program, but secretly or not so secretly, it's implied by your leader that truly they're expecting you in the office, that's most likely, you know, where you're going to be as well, but perhaps even begrudgingly, because what you hear and what you see are two different mm-hmm. things. So mm-hmm. it's a really right. fundamental point around building trust, which is at the very foundation of what we're talking yeah. about today is trust.
Yeah. Yeah. Good points. I would add one more component to the financial service. A lot of them are in very nice, higher end, costly space. And I think there is part of it saying, look, we're paying a lot for this space, so let's use it, right? Versus maybe some other companies that don't have that sort of high end or space. So, all right. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Looking back to March of 20 and some of the early surveys you did, you know, globally and locally here, what would you say if you're going to, you know, pick two or three key things that have changed the most from those early onset days where people were not in the office? What are you finding?
Yeah. Okay. So, and you know, we were one of the first to launch a global survey in March.
I remember.
So we were really fascinated by it. But then we also wanted, and we could see that there were shifts happening. So even a year ago, last September, we ran a survey to see what had happened after, you know, 5 months at home. What were we starting to see? And now from there. So what we saw initially was just the thirst and the pent-up like to really support people's work-life balance, to support families. It's been heroic efforts on so many parts, especially a big shout out to those parents, you know, that have been having to do the homeschool during all of this as well. So I think number one, the thing that, you know, was really we saw from the very beginning was this appetite for work from home and the ability to avoid a commute. And that stays consistent today, that we haven't really seen it diminish. In fact, if anything, we've seen people that didn't think that they could work from home realize the benefits, especially, you know, mid-level managers. I think that was a big change from where we had seen prior to COVID. Most managers did not feel like that their teams would be effective working from home. And now we're seeing sometimes the managers have higher belief that their teams are effective than the teams themselves. And they're like, right, you know, the teams could be like around 93% and the manager could be like a 97. So it's still very high, but that's been a big shift. And I think part of that is that there was no debate or discussion whether or not we were going to go home. We were mandated to go home and we had to do it well. And there were heroic efforts by the IT departments to ensure that, you know, the teams had the technology, that they had the tools. You know, we've seen the adoption of Teams and Zoom just, you know, skyrocket. Initially, they were, you know, it was trial and error and people were getting comfortable. They weren't comfortable a lot of the times turning on cameras because they hadn't quite figured out where they were going to be working and they didn't want to have that privacy from their homes exposed. And so I think that's one of the things that's changed is our technology continues to get better and better and better, easier, more intuitive. The virtual backgrounds, no problem. You know, the fuzziness of the space, no problem. I mean, but then it's been what's been really interesting is that as teams, and this has just kind of come from the duration of COVID, you know, we thought that it would be a couple month gig and then all of a sudden it turned into a year. And then we thought we'd all be back in the summer. And now we're looking at the first of the year. So it just, I think what's happening with the extended time is that it's waking up a lot of organizations saying, we really need to hone this skill. We need to truly adopt and adapt to a new way of working and new work processes. So that's what we're seeing that has shifted is really for organizations to take distributed work or hybrid work, virtual work more seriously. And that means, you know, learning the technology, identifying new technologies that kind of make it easy and fun for people to connect more informally, which we know has been an issue. But I think it's also then about the skills and the commitments. We have been doing a ton of work right now on helping organizations roll out team norm discussions, meaning that, you know, every manager is meeting with their team and collectively they're talking about how do we need to work together? What do we really want to do? How frequently are we going to be face to face? How do we share calendars? How do we communicate what our schedules might be, especially for those with parents? Mm-hmm. How will we make decisions? How will we celebrate, which is really an important part. Mm-hmm. And then what has really been keeping up the past 6 months is that how do we also encourage better work-life balance and better well-being? How do we encourage people to shut down? How do we, you know, we're seeing all sorts of crazy things from, you know, no meeting Fridays to 50-minute meetings, which are not so mm-hmm. crazy. I think it's actually mm-hmm. a great protocol. But there are in some industries when organizations are paying their employees not to work mm-hmm. because of the, you know, impact on their health, on mm-hmm. that productivity because of it.
Yeah.
And then also because, you know, it's also increasing insurance claims. So I think those are a couple of things that are the same and mm-hmm. Different and shifting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can really help a company almost update their employee handbook with those kind of learnings.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. That's at the end of the day, that's what we provide as a playbook mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes they need it real time. So our playbook is happening, you know, as we speak, as we start to work with them, we see low right. hanging fruit that can immediately be supported. But yes, right. and especially for organizations that are looking for, you know, a North American playbook or a global, mm-hmm. Being cognizant of what's going on in the different regions. So mm-hmm. understanding kind of more of the organizational guidelines and policies, mm-hmm. but then also having capacity to shape it so that it supports what is what would be appropriate on a regional level.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much more do you think companies have to learn from this great experiment? I mean, it's been 18 months. There's been a lot of data, right? And there's short-term data you're getting, right? In terms of people are how they're automatically dealing with things. And then there's the long-term, you know, we talk about culture and those kind of long-term mental health effects. But how much more do companies generally expect to learn from what they've already learned?
Well, I hope that they are learning to take on the spirit and the intention of continual learning, because it's not until we actually return that the party starts, Dougal. I mean, right now it's pretty easy. You know, we're all working from home. Some people, some essentials are going into the office, but the majority, have continued to postpone, some until October, but now many of those are shifting until the first of the year. But what's most important in the spirit of learning is to capturing that data. You know, many organizations have just been going by anecdotal, mm-hmm. What they think. And we know anecdotal is different depending upon who's telling the story. And so what we're really recommending is to take on that experiment or that attitude and think about what type of data would be helpful for you. So, for example, you know, one of my clients, we're going through this process right now. HR, IT, real estate and facilities, and communications and learning development have all teamed together. And they are starting to capture or identify what type of data would truly help them track what's shifting and changing, especially as we start to return to the office. And I think you're going to need this data for at least 3, potentially 6 months. And part of it, could be, so example, they are collecting the data on usage of Teams. What are the features of Teams? Are they basically using it only for calls, or have they really leveraged chat? Have they leveraged, file sharing? Have they used, and incorporated in more of the huddles, the huddle rooms or the breakout rooms? That helps people understand, if we're having issues around team engagement, how do we help them think about the technology tools that we've already invested in and get them comfortable and using it further? Like the whiteboard, right? It exists, but very few people really know how to begin to use it, which can be really helpful in sharing complex, ideas and doing that type of collaboration. For HR, they're really starting to look deeply at that policy and how they're communicating, especially around this attraction, retention of talent. So building in exit interviews, and instead of doing, heavy surveys, pulse surveys, once every other week in regards to whatever is current. So, for example, this whole notion of mandatory vaccinations, there's been lots of pulsing and data collected in regards to that. From a facilities perspective, it's going to be really important to understand when people have choice, what is the purpose of place? Why are people coming into the office? Are they coming in to check emails? I highly doubt it. I think that they're going to need to have that space reflect the reason why people are coming in. And from all of our global data, it's around camaraderie. It's around connecting with one another. Some of it's analog, some of it's digital. So what can we do from a hospitality perspective? We're not seeing a lot of big shifts in the amount of space, but we're certainly seeing a big shift in regards to the percentages of dedicated workspaces or offices. Let's say it used to be 70% versus 30% collaboration and social, seeing that it flip completely. So that's when the notion of, more of the hoteling or the free address versus the ability to come in and have incredible experiences. Whether or not that's with teams or thinking differently about social and kind of absolutely supporting the ability to have more cross collaboration. That's another piece that people really have missed. They're connected to their teams, but they don't know what's going on within the rest of the organization.
Yeah.
So some of those things become really important. And one of the things that we did a lot before COVID, it's harder to do now, but we would do more, cultural anthropology type of style of observation. How are people using the space? Are they gathering in the hallway? Are they closing the blinds? Are the doors open? You know, what are these things that begin to signal what they may need? So some of this kind of information, and then keeping this, you know, small, tight team of HR, IT, real estate, communication, learning and development, risk management. You know, if you keep all those people meeting on a weekly or a biweekly basis, that's going to help share some of that cross learning. And we're also seeing that because of that, they're starting to think differently about how budgets get defined. And how do they make certain things happen? And what are the initial hypotheses about the space and what will need to be done? So a spirit of learning and experimentation.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from you. And maybe testing some different versions. And that could be challenging, right? Inexpensive to just kind of test. But at the same time, are you seeing any companies, you know, maybe take a division or some part, kind of like when, you know, if you wanted to experiment with the physical space, you could take a corner of a floor and put in some particular kinds of workstations and live in it and try and see if you like it. Are you seeing any of that with organizations where they're like, okay, we're going to, you know, take this division in Kansas City and we're going to try, you know, a hybrid model under this sort of scenario, see how it goes 2-3 months and then take those learnings and pass it along. Are you seeing much of that?
We're continuing to hear that conversation, but I think until they do what I just spoke about around capturing, getting enough insight, it's expensive and you need to have some type of data that's helping you make good decisions.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, certainly making sure that this space is going to be healthy and safe, number one prerequisite. So that's clear. And they may have adjusted and adapted to that and might be trying some things, but I really haven't seen anybody pull the trigger now without that type of data. I think they're waiting to see how it will be used. And it's kind of the chicken and the egg, right? You know, it's going to be, where do people gather when they come in? Are they going for that cool stand-up table that's by the coffee bar that's more open to meet? Or are they really seeking out a private office where they can shut the door because they've had children at home and they want to be able to focus? So, you know, they're going to see all sorts of different things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kate, this has been great. Is there anything we didn't touch on that you think would be important for the audience to know?
No, just reinforcing, you know, make sure that you're congruent with your organization, because that's the culture, right? Just ensure that what you roll out doesn't have to reflect what you see in the newspapers or from your competitor. Make sure that it really is authentic, because if it's not, people won't believe it. They'll be cynical towards it. And then, you know, I think also the pieces that really think broadly, not just think about the next year, but think about how your business is changing and what skills you're going to need. And what will that talent want? And really kind of aim for something that takes you out 3 to 5 years, if you can see that far out. But be bold, you know, be bold, be brave. Come join us at this community of practice. You know, capture what you're learning. Those are just my top things I'd really want to reinforce.
Yeah, those are great. And I'll include the Workplace Evolutionaries information in the show notes here, but really appreciate your time and sharing some of your knowledge with everyone.
My pleasure, Dougal. Anytime. I love the work that you're doing.
Okay. Thanks, Kate. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Office Space Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.